As we've discussed here on Issues and Ideas for pretty much well over a decade, many Islamic mosques in the United States, which promote themselves as religious learning centers, are, in fact, centers of indoctrination into radical Islamic anti-American teachings. That fact has created a level of concern and objections by many Americans when plans are announced for a mosque to be constructed in their town or their city. My next guest is here with the details about how the situation is currently playing out in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, and legal action, which has been launched in response by the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge. She's senior counsel with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, Hannah Smith. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And a couple of websites for your further information on this topic we're talking about here, for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. It is beckettfund.org. And the website for the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge is isbri.org. So give us an overview, Hannah. What is the challenge and the blockade, I guess you could say, that the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge is facing right now?
Well, the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge has been looking for a site to build a new mosque on for almost a decade. They bought a plot of land that was zoned specifically for houses of worship. But notwithstanding the fact that they met all of the requirements, the permit for that mosque was denied. And so they brought a complaint in federal court in New Jersey challenging that denial of the permit. So just this week, we filed an amicus brief on behalf of nearly 20 different religious, legal, and civil liberties organizations who all support the mosque and say that the town really should have granted this permit to the mosque, notwithstanding the local protesters.
The last report that I was able to find, this was from, I think, December of 2015, when the preliminary and the final site plan approvals were unanimously voted down by the planning board. And the reasons I was able to find were not providing a satisfactory buffer between the project and residential properties, as houses on three sides of the proposed mosque site, problems with the internal circulation of the site, width of the parking spaces, how drivers get around the parking lot, having a non-compliant stormwater plan, and having insufficient access for fire and emergency vehicles. Were all those that, again, that was the pronouncement December of 2015. Had those concerns or those failures to comply with zoning rules, had they been addressed by the Islamic Society?
So the real issue that you need to know is that all of those things flowed from the fact that the town changed the requirement for the mosque parking spaces. So initially, there was a town ordinance that said that every three congregants, you needed one parking space. So there was a 3-to-1 ratio. And the mosque met that requirement in its initial plan and had 50 parking spaces for the anticipated 150 congregant mosque that was planned for the space. But through the years of 39 hearings over 4 years, the town changed that requirement and done so. The mosque then required over 100 parking spaces. So the fact that the town changed that parking requirement is what set off all of these other issues that you just mentioned in your question. So what really happened was the town applied legal standards that were different for the mosque than they had applied for Christian churches and Jewish synagogues in the area as far as the parking requirement goes. So the fact that the town did that is a violation of a federal civil rights statute called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, and that's the basis for the lawsuit, is to say that the town violated that federal civil rights statute.
Do we know whether that change in the parking lot and the parking space requirement, was that specifically for this one project, or is this now a whatever you're going to do in Basking Ridge, this is now the new rule for all to deal with?
Well, what we know is that the parking requirement was changed. It was changed for this mosque, and this mosque was the first project that parking requirement was applied to. So what we know is that the previous parking requirement had applied to all houses of worship, Christian, Jews, and otherwise in the township, and that parking requirement was changed for this mosque that doubled the requirement and set off a cascade of other effects that cause the problems that you articulated earlier. So what's really at stake here is the non-discrimination provision of the federal civil rights statute, RLUIPA. And under that statute, Congress said government may not treat one religion differently than another. And so here you have the town of Baskin Ridge treating a mosque differently from a Christian church or a Jewish synagogue just because they're a mosque. And that violates this federal civil rights statute, which is the basis of this lawsuit. And we had over, we had about 18 religious groups and legal and civil liberties organizations file this amicus brief on Wednesday saying, look, we're, you know, religious minorities of different traditions, but we stand with the mosque in this case. And we're telling the township, you can't discriminate against religious minorities like this just because their beliefs are new or different from what you are used to. And these groups have all experienced similar kinds of discrimination in land use ordinances and around the country. And so these amici and friends of the court stood with the mosque this week to say, look, you can't discriminate against these religious groups merely because their beliefs are new or different.
With Hannah Smith, who is senior counsel with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, on the web, it's beckettfund.org, about the proposed mosque to be desired and they're hoping constructed by the Islamic Society of Baskin Ridge, who their website is isbri.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And speaking of the Islamic Society of Baskin Ridge, Hannah, talk about Muhammad Ali Chowdhury, who is the founder, current president. He does have roots in the community, if my understanding is correct.
Yes, he actually has lived in Baskin Ridge for over 40 years with his family. He has a really inspiring story. It's really a story of the American dream. He, you know, is an immigrant to this country. He's from Pakistan originally. He's educated at the London School of Economics. He received a PhD at Tufts, and he's a retired AT&T executive. And he had significant experience in the community in Baskin Ridge. He served on the Board of Education. He also actually served as the town's mayor for a period of time. So he's contributed significantly to the community in public service, and his family has lived there for over 40 years. So he's really part of this very important fabric of the community. And he, as the president and founding director of the Islamic Society, headed up this search for the land, for the property, for this new mosque. And the other thing that I want to emphasize is that Dr. Chowdhury really went out of his way to create architectural plans for this new mosque that would meet the feel of the residential neighborhood. So they created plans that made the mosque look like it was just a large home. I mean, it doesn't have the traditional dome. The minarets are designed to look like chimneys. So they really went out of their way to create a mosque for this community that Dr. Chowdhury has been a part of for 40 years, that this mosque would look like the surrounding neighborhood and not stand out. And so I think, you know, for all of those reasons, it's just very unfortunate that the town has taken the action that it has against Dr. Chowdhury for all of the years of public service that he's rendered to this community.
Reading and hearing some of the objections, I guess one of the common or most common themes between the objectors is that this is pretty much a residential area, and there was a concern about the increase of traffic and the number of additional vehicles. Maybe is it simply that this was a mistake to zone this piece of property where it is to be used in this way because of the transportation challenges it would create within what had been, I'm assuming, a more quiet, more serene neighborhood before an idea like this came to be?
Well, actually, Dr. Chowdhury found a four-acre parcel that was already zoned for houses of worship. So the lot that they purchased was actually already zoned to be property used for this purpose.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, was that a mistake on the part of the planning board, given that the objections of the people around, and not everyone is conscious of everything a town planning board does, you know, whenever they have a meeting, half a dozen people usually show up. So through the ignorance of not knowing that the zoning took place, people know it now. And if they knew it before, there might have been a whole different story.
Well, you know, if you look at where the property is located, there's a fire department nearby, there's shops, there's schools, there's parks, there's a lot of mixed use around that area. So it's not just a residential area where they purchased this property. And, you know, it's always the case when people apply for a permit for a house of worship, it's a very usually the case that neighbors will say, look, I don't want increased parking. I don't want increased traffic. I don't want increased noise. Those are very typical responses from neighbors when an application like this comes across the desk of the zoning board. And that's why we have federal civil rights statutes like RLUIPA that stand in the gap and really help these religious minorities so that they can build houses of worship. Because, you know, without having a place to assemble or without having a mosque where you can meet, you really can't exercise your constitutional rights to freedom of assembly and freedom of religious worship unless you have a place where you can meet and where you can assemble. And that's why this federal civil rights statute is so important, because it helps these religious minorities be able to overcome some of these neighborhood concerns that often stand in the way of these minorities being able to build houses of worship for their congregations.
To learn more about this case, you can go over to the website for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which is beckettfund.org. Look for the stories regarding the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge. You can also visit their website, which is isbri.org. And, of course, we have links to both those sites over to our page. We've been joined this morning by the senior counsel with the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, Hannah Smith. Hannah, thanks so much for cluing us into what is happening over in Basking Ridge. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.